Foundations Lesson Number 1, The Word of God, Part 2. On our outline, Roman numeral number 1 says that the Bible is God's Word, and underneath that heading are four sections. We're now continuing with the third section, which says that the Bible is God's revelation of Himself. It's important for us to understand that we humans, left to ourselves, would have no idea who God is, what He likes, what He doesn't like, or what He might require of us. We're incapable of figuring that out or discovering it on our own. Out of all the man-made religions in the world, no two are alike, which shows us exactly how well we've done by ourselves. Fortunately, God has already provided the solution to that problem by revealing Himself to us. Although God may reveal Himself to people in a variety of ways, the primary way God has revealed Himself is by writing His message, the Bible. And because the Bible is infallible, every other experience we may have must be evaluated based on what the Scripture has to say about it. God hasn't just given us His Word so that we can know about Him. He wants us to know Him personally, experientially, and intimately. God hungers, thirsts, and even aches for a close relationship with each human He's created. So our goal in reading the Bible should be to know God and His ways, so that we can live according to what pleases Him, and so that we can have a close relationship with Him. With the Bible as our guide, the goal of our life should be to please God with every word we speak, with every thought we think, with every choice we make, and with every attitude we have in our hearts. As the Bible itself has said, it's a matter of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nothing in life is more important than that. Nothing. Romans 16, starting in verse 25, says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings, by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Deuteronomy 29:29. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." One author has said, "The Bible is not a book of philosophy, even though it is philosophical. The Bible is not a book of history, even though it is historical. The Bible is not a book of science, even though it is scientific. The Bible is God's message to us. It reveals Jesus Christ to us. It speaks to our greatest need. If our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior." So we see that more than anything else, the Bible reveals God to us. It's His love letter to His children. Then, next on our outline, the Bible is not to be altered. In other words, no adding or subtracting is allowed. And that only makes sense. God is perfect, so what He's written is perfect. For any of us human beings to think that we're able to improve upon what God has written is sheer arrogance of the deepest and most profound variety. Some people have actually tried to add to or subtract from the Scripture, but anyone who thinks they're qualified to do so needs to repent of their extraordinarily great pride. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." Deuteronomy 12:32, "See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it." Revelation 22, beginning in verse 18. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." I want to say a few things about our attitude toward the Bible as well, because our attitude can color how we understand God's truth. If someone has a strong conviction that all sidewalks should be purple, and they go to the Bible with the attitude that they know they can prove from God's word that all sidewalks should be purple, they may even find an obscure verse somewhere that leads them to the conclusion that God is on their side, even though the word sidewalk doesn't even appear in the scripture. The issue here is attitude. It's necessary for us to approach God's holy word with humility. We should ask ourselves, what does it say? Searching it out as people ready to be instructed, ready to learn, ready to soak up what God has said. It would even be a good idea to pray the prayer of Psalm 119, verse 18, which says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." It's also important not to take scripture out of context. Let me explain what I mean by that. Very few verses in the Bible were written to stand by themselves. So for us to understand most verses properly, we need to know what's been written beforehand and afterward. Or, to put it another way, we need to understand the verse in its context. Let me give you a striking example of what can happen when we take a part of the Bible out of its context. Did you know that Scripture clearly states that there is no God? That's right. Word for word, it says, "There is no God." But now let me read you that portion of Scripture in its context. Psalm 14, verse 1. "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." I think you can see clearly that there's a drastic change in meaning between when we are and when we're not faithful to keep that line of God's word in its proper context. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Amen.